views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Hey, on Monday, I reported that it was Monday or Friday, it's one of those days, that I reported the Goose Watch program was finalized, 11:34 on Monday, I think it was. And I have in the studio with me Nate Lechomme, biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He's, quote, the farmer at Kermit's Field Migratory Waterfowl Refuge. Nate, good morning. Welcome, and how you doing?
Morning, David. Doing fine. Thanks for having me on.
So tell us about the time that the birds, all three of them, were registered. Was that Monday?
Yeah, let's just check. Yep, so Monday morning, 11:24 a.m. was my official time.
I knew there was a 4 in there and 11.
Yep. Yeah, so we actually had 4 geese out on the field at that time.
Is that about the normal time frame that they arrive, or early or late?
Approximately, yeah. Nowadays, last year's arrival was April 12th, so not far off.
So here I'm looking at the paper on Sunday, and I'm seeing that you guys are putting out all this grain for the birds. So these were the first up at the trough.
Absolutely, yep. First at the forefront of the migration flight there.
How much feed do you put out?
We put out typically about 4 tons. We've been doing that about the last 5 or so years. It fluctuates sometimes between 4 and 8 tons.
What sort of feed is it?
We go with whole barley or crimped barley. Okay. We source that out of Delta Junction. Yep.
You guys got this down.
Yeah, we've been doing it a long time. I want to say a minimum 40 years, 40 plus years we've been doing this. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
In some way or shape, you know. The creamers were actually kind of doing it incidentally back when the dairy was up and running. Yep, they'd spread manure out in the fields in the wintertime, which would help melt the fields out.
Yeah.
There'd be some undigested grain in there, and it would attract all these birds.
And you guys would bring out the snowblowers, the plows.
Yeah, thanks to the airport crew, the DOT airport crew.
Yeah.
They come over every year and clear these lanes for us and the public to come view the birds.
You know, it helps them keep the birds off the airport.
Yeah, that's our number one goal every spring. There's a history that they do such a nice job at the airport. It's the first place in town to melt out. We do not want our feathered friends flying over there first thing in the springtime, so we try to attract them to Creamer's Field.
How long have you been at Creamer's Field now?
This is the start of my 5th year with the department at Creamer's Field, yeah.
Full-time?
Full-time, yep.
Okay, and you're part-time at times?
You know, technically when I started, I was like a permanent, you know,
Permanent
seasonal kind of deal. Yeah, 10 month. But I've actually been with the department all 12 months for 5 years now. Yep.
What brought you up to Fairbanks, Alaska?
Oh, so a little background about me. I'm originally from upstate New York, about 15 minutes from the Canadian border. Yeah, so I've been dealing with these Canadian geese here for a while now, right?
You're an old hand with Canadian geese.
Yeah, so I went to college. I got my bachelor's in conservation biology from Environmental Science and Forestry School in New York. And then for about 10 years after that, I traveled multiple different states, California, Wyoming, North Dakota, Louisiana, chasing these birds, doing everything from searching for nests and monitoring hatches in the summertime to just capturing birds to band them.
So you were living life, man.
It was pretty awesome. Yeah, I was motorcycle camping all over the country.
Doing your job. At, I hate you.
Yeah.
Fairbanks, let's hurt Nate.
A lot of people tell me I have the best job they've ever heard of.
And that is great.
I tend to agree with them.
How many people work permanently out at Creamer's Wildlife Refuge?
Yeah, so as far as the department goes, we have typically three employees. We're down currently to two, but we're about to hire a new education associate. So we have a refuge manager, Clint Cooper, myself, refuge biologist, and then, yeah, we'll be hiring that education associate.
You know, I love Creamer's. I love Creamer's. I'm out there, you know, right after this, I'm grabbing my two dogs and we're going out to Creamer's for a walk. And I just love Creamer's. I think it's a crown jewel of Fairbanks. You know, half of it is in the city limits. Mm-hmm. Whenever you have a Creamer's Field Migratory Waterfowl Refuge in city limits, yep, you just don't find that.
No, it's not very common. Nope. And yeah, I mean, nowadays they actually make it a point to not have airports and refuges so close proximity. You won't see new constructions of that anymore. So we've kind of, you know, kind of have like a grandfathered thing. And it's a very unique thing to have, you know, a military airfield on one side and a commercial airport on the other.
Welcome to Fairbanks.
Welcome to Fairbanks.
We're an uncommon group up here.
Absolutely.
In a good way.
In a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. You know, you gave me a list of the plethora of birds that come through. And the average is March 18th, the snow bunting. What is a snow bunting?
Oh, snow buntings are pretty cool. I'd never even heard of them before until moving here. They're a little Arctic songbird. They're typically all white this year. They have black wingtips.
Okay.
Just a small songbird. We typically can see flocks of upwards of 40 plus in the fields. Unfortunately, so far this year, I've only counted 7 individuals about 2 weeks ago, and really haven't seen them much. Some sightings of them down in Delta and up on the Stees, so they're around. They just haven't concentrated at Creamer's as much as typically.
Then we also get in March that you have two birds that come through, the snow bunting, and then on March 25th average is the golden eagle. Now, I don't see many of those.
No, don't see many of those. I work with birds a lot, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't consider myself like an avid birder on my off time. So I think
that's why I like you.
I think you could spend enough time out there and you will find one eventually, but you'd have to put the work in.
What's bigger, the golden or the bald eagle?
The golden.
Yeah.
Yeah, by far.
That's what I thought. But you just don't see, they're this more rare than our national bird.
Correct. Yep.
Oh, okay. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. I have Nate Lacham, biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game here, and he's got one of the coolest jobs in the world. The jerk. We'll be back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Get your garage back, people. Great news, everybody. Independent Rental Storage has 20 and 40-foot containers to help with all your storage needs. We have two locations, one on Cushman and our new storage yard on Chena Pump. Or we can bring a container to you. With prices starting at $150 a month, Independent Rental Storage has the space you need. Call us today, 456-6595. Independent Rental Storage. Safe, secure, affordable.
Workdays can be unpredictable, but your workwear shouldn't be. With a Cintas Apparel Plus program, you'll have freshly laundered garments for everyone on your team delivered every week. Cintas has workwear for just about any job imaginable, with high-performance fabrics and an uncompromising fit that stretches and moves with you. Don't leave looking and feeling good to chance. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile with a message for everyone paying big wireless way too much. Please, for the love of everything good in this world, stop. With Mint, you can get premium wireless for just $15 a month. Of course, if you enjoy overpaying, no judgments, but that's weird. Okay, one judgment.
visit mintmobile.com/radio.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with daytime highs approaching 38. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Chance for mixed precipitation, changing to all snow. Lows dip down to about 22. About an inch of snow tonight with another dusting tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM. And
Your Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM. And streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Nate Lacham in the studio here with me here. He works out at Kramer's Field. I always call it Kramer's Field, but it's Kramer's Field Migratory Waterfowl Refuge. Now, why are they calling you the farmer?
Oh, they call me the farmer. So one of my primary jobs is to attract waterfowl to the refuge. We do that in the springtime by clearing some snow in the front fields there for everybody's viewing pleasure. Spread some bait to try to concentrate them here at the front fields. But once we get rid of all the snow that's still begrudgingly hanging on, I'll actually be out there planting food for the next migration that'll start occurring around August.
What's the yellow that comes up? Oh, that's beautiful.
That's everybody's favorite
thing. Yeah, it is. And I take photos of it every year.
Yeah, it's a mix of mustard and actually most of it's canola. Okay. That was the origins of that. I've heard a few different stories. Some say it came in with some fertilizer we purchased a few decades back, and mm-hmm. some say it's just come in with some seed that wasn't as clean.
You know, every year I get a photo with that in full bloom, mm-hmm. From the parking lot along College Road, showing the Kramer's Field structure in the back mm-hmm. with geese or cranes or whatever. And it's just, there's no other photo in the world like that.
Yeah, it's absolutely pretty. It is a pretty sight. And, we don't really like the bird vetch, right? The purple flowers, but with the mix of that yellow and purple, it is hard to beat the views in the field that time of year.
And that's a part that's in the city limits.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, so that's another thing to bring up, too. I mean, the refuge is over 2,000 acres,
yeah.
And it's full size. But obviously the heart of it is those college fields, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you have an inordinate amount of wonderful people who help take care of that. You know, the trails and the bridges and how are the bridges doing? Still under repair? Reconstruction?
Yeah, so I think you're talking about the Borough Forest Trail there.
Yeah.
But to take a step back, yeah, we could only do a fraction of what we do if it weren't for these nonprofits and local organized groups like the Ski Jore Polk Association, yeah. ADMA, ASI, Friends of Kramer's Group.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure. Bring them on.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Nate Lacham, a biologist, and your name is?
Hi, my name is Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Talking to Nate, actually, before he called into your show, and I just wanted to say that maybe Nate should talk a little bit about the subject I called him about. I thought it was real interesting, and it'll probably educate people about something we most of us don't know occurs. Anyway, I'll hang up, and Nate can say what he wants.
Nate, you're called out, man.
Hey, I appreciate you listening.
Oh, man. Yeah. You were telling me about that phone call and that photograph.
Yeah. So, yeah, as I was saying to you, David, right before I got in here.
We were going to get there. We were going to get there, Mike, but we're here. We're there now.
But, so I brought in a few photos just to show David here. I've got in hand, and then again, talking about the public. This bird arrived at Kramer's Field in April of 2024, and that was taken by a local photographer who goes by the name of Hook. But that is a photo of a mallard northern pintail hybrid.
Just looking at the tail, you say that's a pintail.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, it's got the pintail tail, the pintail blue bill. It has traits of the mallards, but that white on its neck there, the base of its neck, that's
the green head
of a pintail, and the green head of a mallard, orange feet.
Where does the brownish chest come from?
So drake mallard, so that's a drake, so that's a male. They get that chestnut from the mallard.
Okay. Yep. Beautiful photo.
Absolutely.
You know, it looks like a nice fall day, early in the morning with the shadows. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, so that's a cool one. Last year we had, there was a few around town. There was one over at the flood control, and we had one at Creamer's for a few weeks. It was a snow goose hybridized with a greater white-fronted goose. I can't say that it was like the most attractive bird to look at, but it was still cool nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman who just called in, yeah, he called me because he saw a photo of a duck that was taken from another local photographer who comes to Creamer's all the time. And he saw this down on the river. They're suspecting that it is a pintail mallard hybrid, but it's of female. So they're definitely harder to tell. And yeah. I was able to have a friend of mine send me a photo so I could take a look myself.
Approximately how many total birds come through in the spring migration?
Roughly off the top of my head, like I talked to you a little bit earlier, we typically have 1,000 to 1,500 geese. We'll get a few hundred cranes in the spring. We get most of our cranes in the fall. We'll get thousands in the fall. But typically, the last few years that I've been there, we could see upwards of 4,000 or 5,000 birds that come through Creamer's Field. And that's like a maximum daily count.
Yeah.
So we're talking, it's probably, you know, 2-3-fold more than that that are actually coming through. And
that's a daily count.
That's my daily count. I do like a daily maximum count every day of April into May 15th when the majority of these birds are going to be.
And how many, what's your daily count at?
As of right now, so we had those 5 geese.
Yeah.
The first arrival was there. The next day it was tenfold. We had 54 geese the next day. So it can happen just like that. We're up to about, when I left the office today, we had about a dozen trumpeter swans, approximately 40 Canada geese. But so far we've had up to 15 trumpeter swans.
You know, the trumpeter swan population has really come back.
Yeah.
It's great to see.
Yeah,
there's
absolutely
nothing so regal and beautiful than that bird.
They're a majestic bird. And it's, I mean, there's just a cool factor of seeing like a Boeing 737 equivalent of a bird, you know?
Yeah. 747.
Yeah. Yeah.
DC-10. Airbus.
Yep.
How long do they, you know, they just don't pop up flying. They need the runoff. You know, they got to get some air.
No, and it's funny you say that. So again, we clear these fields for these birds, but I watched the first pair of swans that landed at Creamer's decided to land in the deep snow, and never have I ever seen a swan post-holing just like a human.
Yeah.
And almost rolling around like it couldn't get up. and that's what I was thinking to myself. I was like, man, if this bird was way out in the middle of nowhere and decided to do that, it'd have a hard time getting away.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do some duck banding at the refuge, and sometimes it's like 100 plus feet if these swans are on the water to take off.
They need some runway.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That is something else. So what are some of the challenges for caring for, you know, a 2,000 acre refuge?
Yeah. Yeah. So I take a lot of pride in the work that we do at the refuge. The majority of the refuge, though, again, is undeveloped boreal forest, and we want to keep it that way,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the most part. And there's some accessibility issues for the public, but also for us as managers. You know, there's certain times of years that we're not really out in the deep center of the refuge. You know,
yeah.
It's just hard to get there, and you got to have, you know, 2-3 layers of bug shirts on and hip boots and all that good stuff, right? But I'm a jack of all trades. At the refuge, I do everything from pick up trash in the parking lots, change trash can liners, toilet paper in the outhouse. You know, those are my mm-hmm. less glorious job parts of the job. But so I started to try to use a little bit more data and science to kind of run or make decisions on like what we plant at the refuge and how much to plant for that fall migration.
So you're sitting in your office there, and all of a sudden, you got a lot of squawky noise coming in. What's that like?
Oh, awesome. Absolutely love it. I mean, I miss how in the wintertime, you know, it's dark, it's eerily quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Mark Ross's microphones. I do enjoy hearing those trumpeters, those first honks of those trumpeters in the springtime or right before I was leaving, getting ready for the show, hearing those Canada geese squawk. It makes me appreciative of all the wildlife that we do have at the refuge. And that it's such a big part of the community.
So the first Canadian goose came in on the 12th, and its average is the 15th. So
yeah,
they're right on time.
Yeah, and that document there was made up in 2013. So
okay,
but yeah, it used to be the later teens, early 20th of April, but I'd say the last 10 years and less, it's been this, you know, first week and a half, like the 9th to the 15th, probably approximately.
What are some of your other responsibilities? Or let's look at your main responsibilities. You know, this is a portion of them, but you're full-time.
Yeah, full-time. So, like I said, touch back on the farmer thing there. So Friends of Creamer's Field runs Camp Habitat in the summertime. And, yeah, a lot of those kids run around. They call me Farmer Nate. So farming is actually one of my primary duties at the refuge. It takes up a good bit of my time through the month of May into June. But outside of that, yeah, I mean, fixing fences. We're constantly starting to work on new habitat enhancement mm-hmm. projects around the refuge. We're hoping to do some more pond construction for the birds. We're doing some moose habitat work over at our Echo Acres portion of the refuge. And I get the opportunity to get off refuge sometimes as well. I help the state waterfowl program and the small game program capture emperor geese on Kodiak, and I get to go out to the YK Delta in the summer times. And yeah,
you have more than this birds hanging out there. You know, you've seen foxes, and we talked about wolves and moose. And yeah. The only thing I haven't seen out there is a caribou migration,
which they have come into town.
Yeah,
you know, once upon a time. Yeah, it is difficult to try to, you know, address every species of animal that lives on the refuge. But again, a big part of that is doing nothing too.
Letting it happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you went off to college. Did you ever think you'd be a farmer in Fairbanks, Alaska?
I would have never guessed. Yeah, I mean, you know, 21-year-old me would have never ever guessed that I'd be living permanently in Fairbanks, Alaska, farming for birds. No, I would have never guessed in a million years.
Well, obviously the shoes fit right for you. It's a, you know, it really has.
Yeah, I everybody pushed college, and I was kind of like dragging my feet, didn't really want to go, ended up going. But, you know, a little history there. Yeah, before this, I didn't consider myself to have a green thumb, but my grandfather and his father were dairy farmers mm-hmm. back in upstate New York. And that's another thing I love about Creamer's.
There's a dairy farm.
Is a lot of tourists that come up here, and a lot of people move to Fairbanks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they come to Creamer's, and it's a little taste of where they came from, too.
Yeah.
A little reminder of home.
Yeah, it. You know, I've got a couple of the old Creamer's milk bottles. You know, the small
awesome.
Ones.
Yeah,
yeah. You got to have those, and the Absolutely. Bentley brothers, and or Bentley and Sons.
And it's funny where you can find those things. I've been to a couple cabins out of Minto Flats.
Yeah,
and you can see old Creamer's dairy containers in some of those cabins out there.
Yeah, I've got an old. I've got a wooden box. You know, the Creamer's mm-hmm. that you put
yeah.
them all in.
Yeah, the milk crate. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, it's funnier than heck. Fairbanks, we are going to be taking a commercial break here. I have some Billy Joel for you. It's a lot better than the Janet Jackson that they put on us yesterday. So, hey, that way you can hang with us through the commercials. Then we're going to have some Fox News, some state news, some weather. And, well, it's starting to get nice outside. Hopefully it gets up to about 40-some degrees today. We'll be back. We'll be right back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Pope Leo making his way through Africa on an 11-day trip to speak about Christians and Muslims coexisting in the modern world. Before leaving Algeria for Cameroon, the Pope emphasized all humans can live in peace and be respectful of each other's beliefs.
Although we have different beliefs, we have different ways of worshiping, we have different ways of living, we can live together in peace. And so I think that to promote that kind of image is something which the world needs to hear today.
The Pope has spoken out against the U.S. war with Iran. President Trump on Truth Social writing, Pope Leo is weak on crime and terrible on foreign policy. House Speaker Mike Johnson defending the president's comments.
A pontiff or any religious leader can say anything they want, but obviously if you wade into political waters, I think you should expect some political response, and I think the Pope's received some of that.
America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Your Alaska Link reports the administration of Mayor Suzanne LaFrance is continuing dedicated Anchorage Police Department foot patrols in downtown Anchorage as part of ongoing efforts to improve safety and support local businesses. The patrols, initially launched ahead of Fur Rendezvous, have now been extended through the end of 2026 as part of broader downtown revitalization efforts. Two officers are assigned to walk the downtown corridor daily from 8 a.m. till 10 p.m., 7 days a week, under an overtime detail funded through the hotel bed tax. Officials say the goal is to maintain a visible, approachable police presence in one of the city's busiest areas. The Anchorage Police Department says the foot patrols are designed to support community policing through business check-ins, rapid response to incidents, proactive enforcement, and increased officer visibility. Local business owners have also expressed support for the effort, noting increased officer interaction and engagement in the area.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Woo, sunshine. Come on, spring. Hey, snowbanks. Fairbanks. Les Nichols here with Fairbanks Nissan. With dry roads around the corner, it's time to start changing your winter tires out. This is the last month of buy three tires, get one for a dollar. I know we're all tired of the puns, but this is a really good deal. And we all know tire change season can be a bit hectic. If you're waiting for service and your shop is telling you June, as in Juno, it might be July, and you don't like waiting in line, schedule your appointment with Fairbanks Nissan today. And yes, we sell Nissans, but we work on all makes, even that one you're driving right now. Speaking of snowbanks, if you have a car that's thawing out in the driveway and you're ready to get rid of it, bring it down to Fairbanks Nissan. We're buying cars. We don't need 100 used cars, but we do need 25 cars before the end of the month. The question isn't who buys the most cars. It's who's going to give you the best number for your car. I'll give you a hint. It's probably Fairbanks Nissan. So come get a great deal on new tires or a seasonal tire change. Let us make you an offer on your old ride that'll put a spring in your step and schedule your speedy service appointment online at FairbanksNissan.com. That's FairbanksNissan.com.
Going camping is the simply satisfying, relaxing way to enjoy the Alaskan outdoors. Plan to get the most out of your experience with a visit to Frontier Outfitters. Check off your list of essentials, such as tents, sleeping bags, and cookware from your favorite brands, such as Mountain Hardware, Kelty, Slumberjack, Coleman, Jetboil, and more. Garmin GPS. Protect your eyes with sunglasses by Oakley, Maui Jim, and Costa. Your successful camping trip begins at Frontier Outfitters. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's a beautiful day at Hawk's Greenhouse. Flowers are beginning to bloom, roses are budding, and herbs are growing. Sit a while or stroll in amongst a sea of green and get some much-needed plant therapy. Enjoy the earthy smell of soil, the warmth of greenhouse humidity, and the fresh scent of lavender, mint, basil, and rosemary. Hawk's Greenhouse open Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 6, and Saturday, 10 to 5, located at 3799 Easy Street, Fairbanks.
We color your life naturally.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Nate Lachom in the studio with me here. He's from Kramer's Field. That's all I'm going to say without putting the rest of the field, migratory waterfowl refuge, biologist. But, you know, they don't hear a lot of the conversations we have during the break or before that we started. And you were talking about some of the ages of the geese and the cranes. That, you know, you've had some returning for 15 to 20 years.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, it's pretty crazy that a lot of these birds can live that long in the wild. Yeah, well, like we were talking about off air a little earlier, you had the opportunity, somebody down in the Platte River of Nebraska last winter, I believe, sent us a picture of a crane that had what we call an auxiliary marker on it. Ours are yellow background with black alphanumeric three-digit code on it. Allows us to identify the bird without having to catch it and physically have it in hand. And I looked it up, and that bird was marked at Creamer's Field, you know, back in like 2003, 2004 as an adult. So we can determine that that bird, since it's been banded, is 19 years old, but it's 19 plus.
Yeah.
Because it was banded as an adult. And then, yeah, I've seen other members of the public here too take some photos of mallards down on the Chena that were marked with one of those auxiliary markers years ago. And, you know, same thing. That bird's 15, 16 years old. I think the oldest snow goose that we're aware of would be about 28, 29 years old right now if it was still alive.
What about the cranes?
Cranes would be, I'd have to guess they're about the same. I couldn't tell you for sure, but I definitely would expect them to be in that upper 20s as far as the lifespan, probably older.
You know, it's getting interesting with our technology and how you use it now for your data.
Absolutely. So what's very cool is one of these first five Canada geese that came to Creamer's this spring had a transmitter on it. Pretty high tech. It's GPS, GSM, so it can record GPS location data points, quite a few of them at a time. I mean, we're talking thousands of locations that it can store on the collar. And it's GSM, which means it pushes that data to us through the cellular network, which it'll push that to us. We have these set up in Alaska. It'll take a point every 15 minutes or so, and then it'll push that data to us approximately every 8 hours or so. So actually, I got a phone call, believe it or not, from a colleague of mine in Anchorage who was like, hey, dude, you got a transmitter in your field right now. So I had to get off the couch and run down to Creamer's and make sure I didn't miss it.
Oh, boy. But also, it's sort of opening your eyes on their migratory patterns and where they go where you didn't think they went.
Absolutely. So banding birds has been, I mean, we've been banding birds for over 100 years. And that's been, like, that's our bread and butter as far as the amount of data we can get.
Yeah, primary.
Yeah, it's cheap, and we can put a lot of them out there. But we really have to rely on people either harvesting or finding these birds. Now with photography, a lot of these people have incredible lenses that they can read these metal bands. But you'd have to report that to us so we could get that data. But like I was going to mention with the transmitter, you know, back when we just had the bands, we were like, oh, these geese aren't really going east of the Rockies. You know, we had an idea that they're kind of staying in the Pacific Northwest. But now thanks to these transmitters, we've actually been seeing these birds go as far south as Texas. Yeah. And I'm not saying that they weren't before.
Yeah, but now you have proof of it.
Now we know. And this particular individual that's transmitted, it was marked at Creamer's in August of 2022 and has been coming back and forth for the last 3-4 years now.
And with your biology and with your data, there are so many types of Canadian geese.
There are, yeah. So we're not just putting transmitters out there for fun, right? We usually have a couple questions in mind that we're trying to answer. And, you know, we work interagency. Migratory waterfowl are actually like primarily federally managed, but states do so as well. So Fish and Wildlife will be going out and flying these transects with airplanes and counting these birds on their breeding areas. And what this transmitter allows us to do, because we have these subspecies of Canada geese here at the refuge, primarily lesser Canada geese and Taverner's cackling geese, but we also can get cackling goose as well, which kind of confusing there. But anywho, it's showing us that obviously from the air, it's hard to distinguish these subspecies. So through the use of these transmitters, it's helping us delineate where these birds are actually going. We can identify, know for sure it's a cackling goose versus a lesser Canada. So when we're going out and taking counts of these birds, we can kind of extrapolate like what proportion are likely these lesser Canadas versus these other subspecies. Yeah.
Hmm. Now, okay, Rocket Man.
Yeah.
let's talk about the nets. Come on, let's just get
you
to it.
You want to talk about the rocket science?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you're a rocket scientist.
I never thought I'd be a rocket scientist either. Yeah, so David was asking how we catch some of these birds. And one primary technique we use is called rocket netting. The nets can be approximately 60 feet in length, and after they're fired, they can be approximately 40 feet deep. But yeah, we'll set up these nets. We'll bait with, you know, miscellaneous grains, often corn. We'll try to get these birds habituated to coming to this, you know, right in front of the net. It's like, you know, it's trapping.
Yeah.
We'll try to get these birds habituated, try to figure out a pattern. And you have to go to where the birds are. It's really hard to make them want to come to you. So
yeah.
Sometimes it's not in the most like opportunistic, or, you know, the nicest area to try to go catch these birds. But yeah, so we'll just sit and wait. We have fancy cameras now that we can actually be, you know, have a vantage point right at the net so we can make sure they're not too close and that they're actually in our kind of like catch box.
Target area.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, yeah, we just push of a button and throw this net over top.
Ready for a phone call?
Absolutely.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Nate Lacham, and your name is?
Hey, thanks. This is Mark.
Hello, Mark. Oh, God.
Not you.
You're retired, Mark.
No. No, I just ended tenure. I'm with the Friends of Beamer's Field. Nate, you're doing great.
Appreciate it, Mark.
Your voice is great. David's doing good, too. But remember, proper common names. You might want to mention to David the common name of your signature bird.
What are you trying to get at, Mark?
They're not Canadians.
Oh, well, yeah, that was we've said Canada. I made the joke about Canadians when I was talking about back home.
Yeah, we said A. Yep. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it, buddy. Proper form, man.
Proper form.
Canada geese.
Absolutely.
Canadian beer.
Nothing better.
Yes. Canadian whiskey. Not my side of the equation on that. What the heck? But, you know, you have so many types of birds that come through. And what always gets me is, you know, there's someone's name is associated with a lot of these birds that probably discovered it or classified it or did something like that.
They're just constantly changing too.
Yeah. Tell us about the, I don't know if you can, but the lesser yellow legs.
Yeah, I'm definitely not an expert on shorebirds, but a lesser yellow legs is a species of shorebird. We do get quite a few that nest in the interior of Alaska here. And yeah, you probably won't see them. I mean, they might be here end of this month, but they're typically going to be here in May. You could spot those in our front ponds from Creamer's Lane and the College Road parking lot for sure. Yeah, just a little shorebird. Yeah, cute little buggers, long legs, even though it says lesser. Yeah, they got little stilts for legs.
Now here's a name that I really like. The Hudsonian Godwit.
Godwit. Yeah.
What's in a name?
Yeah, they're pretty cool birds. A lot of these birds make extraordinary migrations to Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not, I don't think it's the Hudsonian, maybe the Marbled Godwit. But some of these birds like that are capable of nonstop flights of thousands of miles from like New Zealand to Alaska and stuff like that. Absolutely crazy.
Do we get any from, say, Siberia?
We do, yeah. Yeah, so when I first started counting these fields, 5 years ago, my first year, yeah, we were seeing Eurasian widgeon, which is in the name, yeah, come from Russia and Asia. There's actually a pretty cool bird that was spotted in Delta Junction a few days ago, and my colleague was telling me that she was running into folks that were flying up from Anchorage to come see it. And it's called a whooper swan, and it's actually the national bird of Finland, and again, it's a Eurasian species. It's typically not spotted in the interior.
So basically, if you're in any type of birding competition, this is where you want to be.
Sometimes can get a little monotonous to go out and count these fields day in and day out, getting similar numbers, seeing all the same things. But that's what really makes it for me when you get to see this odd hybrid or even a ring-necked duck, which is a very common bird, but we're at the very tip of its range.
Yeah.
It's very cool to see that. And back to, you know, catching and marking these birds, a cool little fact I have from this year is I banded one single individual this fall. It was a blue-winged teal.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a phone call from my old boss that I worked for in Louisiana, and he caught my bird that I banded at Creamer's Field.
Wow.
Yep. Approximately three months later.
That's a small world.
Absolutely. Yep.
So, okay, now I'm going to ask you about this stud name. I mean, bad to the bone. The Killdeer.
Killdeer.
Yeah. Another. What is that?
That's another small shorebird. Yeah, they're pretty cool. They're known for doing this broken wing display. If you're near their nest, they can actually do this cool thing where they will like invert and twist their wing to make it look like they're injured to try to lure you away from their nesting area. It's very cool.
Oh, so that's where it comes from in all the Disney movies. And before we take a break, one more for all those people of Fantasyland. Tell us about the Merlin.
Merlin. Merlins are cool. Yeah, a little falcon that comes up here. Trying to estimate size for it, you know, maybe a tall water bottle. They're just little fierce birds of prey. Very cool to see up here in the interior, and they do frequent the interior.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. If you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK. 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
This is Ann with the Fairbanks Community Food Bank, thanking you for your support of your local Interior Alaska Food Bank. Because of you, we have had 4 decades of collecting local surplus food to give to those in need. The volunteer hours that you have given, the food that you've donated, and the cash that you have shared has helped tens of thousands of your local neighbors who woke up hungry to go to bed with full bellies. You make a difference in this community, one meal at a time. Thank you for your support of the Fairbanks Community Food Bank.
Well, summer will be here before you know it, and you want to enjoy it. Well, so do the folks at Septic Specialists of Alaska. They want to fish, hike, camp, and have fun too. So don't wait until the last minute when they're full for the summer. Get on the books now, whether it's servicing your septic system or a new install or replacement. The key here is don't wait until it's too late. Get on the schedule now so you can go have fun this summer. Enjoy your Alaska summer with help from Septic Specialists of Alaska. Schedule an appointment today online at septicspecialistsofalaska.com.
KFAR Radio is proud to bring you 50-50 Friday. Every Friday at 9 a.m., log on to our website for a half-price offer from a local business. Great deals on restaurants, stores, shops, services, sporting events, and more. It's 50-50 Friday. This week's offer?
This week, we welcome Alaska Feed Company back to 50-50 Friday. Alaska Feed Company has been part of the Fairbanks community for decades, and on Friday, you can get a $50 gift certificate to Alaska Feed for half price. We're all planning our spring and summer projects, and Alaska Feed has so much of what we need. This offer goes live on Friday morning, 9 a.m., and these certificates will sell fast. Alaska Feed Company, this week on 50-50 Friday, grab your $50 gift certificate for just $25.
So log on to KFARradio.com this Friday morning starting at 9 a.m. for this awesome half-price offer. But hurry, as this deal will go fast. It's 50-50 Friday from KFAR.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with a high of 38. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Chance for mixed precipitation becoming all snow. Lows level off around 22. About an inch of snow tonight with another dusting tomorrow night. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM,
and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. And excuse me there. We get very learned people who text me, and one of my most learned friends and colleagues, and he's part of the Laundry House gang, and he's always poking the bear to his Al. Now, Al wants to know, how possibly can you discharge rockets and weapons in the city limits?
Rockets and weapons.
You know, when you're catching those geese, you're a rocket man.
We are. Yeah, well, touch on that a little bit. Yeah, it's only been a few years that we've been doing that at the refuge. And again, the city limits is, you know, some of the front fields there, but not all. We do contact local
authorities,
local police and fire departments, just to give them a heads up about what we're doing. And it's relatively loud if you're, you know, within a fairly close proximity, but you're not going to be hearing this across town or anything crazy like that. And we call them rockets by name, but it's a pretty, well, this does make it sound pretty intense. The charges that we do put in them are technically decommissioned howitzer propellant, but it's just these, they look like little muzzleloader pellets. There's approximately 20 in there. They're super safe outside of the rocket. And this rocket is essentially a piece of pipe with a cap on one end. But, you know, sounds crude, but, you know, there's only one company in the country that makes them. So, I mean, they are engineered to do what they do. But outside of that, yeah, they're really safe. And if you were to ignite one outside of the actual rocket, it kind of just fizzles.
Do you ever get, like, the Boy Scouts saying, hey, when are you going to do this so we can watch?
No.
Oh, no. What do you mean no? God, share the fun.
That's the other thing. Yeah, we, you know, as yeah, that's one of those.
You're shooting rockets in Fairbanks, catching birds.
Yeah, that's one of those things. I mean, it is a sight to see.
Do you ever film it?
We do. We do. Yeah, I do have some footage of some of our shots because we try to learn from them.
That'd be so cool.
It would. But yeah, we are going to be trying to catch some geese here in the next few weeks. So you may
I'm going to be giving you my phone number.
Hey, absolutely. I'd love to have you out.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Al, me and you are going, buddy. you can monitor the explosive device's discharge in the city limits.
But to touch on the safety of that, I mean, we try to we put them in places that we're hoping people don't typically traverse.
Yeah.
And we've got signage out, and we're always, you know, babysitting these sets.
Yeah.
We're not going to allow the public to walk out in front of them or anything like that.
Oh, darn. You know, but what, you know, come on, scare the bejesus out of someone. catch a tourist. No?
I don't know if I'd keep my job for much longer if that happened. Yeah.
But it'd be the U2s of a sensation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's one place I don't want to be.
I know. So you're this right now, you're coming into the big season of the migration.
Yeah. Yeah, so birds are going to start arriving in Fairbanks in tenfold. Like I mentioned previously, you know, first day we had 5 geese. Literally the next day we had 54. Expecting to have hundreds, if not thousands, of Canada geese, white-fronted geese coming through. We do get some snow geese towards the end of the season, the spring migration, if you will. And again, that's going to be like that mid-March is the latest there. But we typically peak out around the 22nd of April is when we're going to have like the most birds typically.
Yeah.
I think we're just a tad behind by a few days this year.
Oh, darn.
Oh, darn.
You know, it's not like we had 5 feet of extra snow and, you know, 100 straight days of 20 to 40 below.
151 consecutive days below freezing. Oh, my goodness.
I know. What the? But we survived it.
We made it.
And now the birds are coming back. Snow's melting.
Now we've got 6 months to prepare for winter.
Yeah, you're a jerk. Oh, boy. But you're in your peak of your season right now. Do you prep for this throughout the year? Or
I do. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what a lot of my winter months, you know, consist of. Yeah. I mean, we immediately start planning for the next, you know, the next spring. I'm doing some report writing and compiling all this data that we're collecting in the spring and the fall migrations. And yeah, like I said, you know, some of these transmitters that I've had the ability to look at some of the data, but I can actually look at how these geese are moving throughout the fields up front.
Yeah.
And that helps me decide, you know, we plant barley to come up for seed, nice and mature, but in late July, I actually go out and plant barley, and I want it to just appear as short grass. It's just freshly sprouted. The geese go crazy for it. And then this year, yeah, we're doing, it might be a little ambitious, but yeah, we're going to have all sorts of crops that we haven't had on the refuge before, but also may not have tried in, you know, 40 years or so. Barley, peas, oats, midnight sun sunflowers from the university I was able to get my hands on last year. Going to try some Denali alfalfa that the Palmer Plant Material Center is providing, some wheat, all sorts of crops out there for the birds this year.
I see why they call you the farmer.
Yeah, and I'm, I'd like to say, I mean, it's like I said, I didn't have a green thumb. I couldn't keep a cactus alive before this job.
I can cook. I can grow herbs, and I mean the legal ones: basil, tarragon. I don't do the cash crops, as they call it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's a real big question I get all the time. Is like, oh, you're planting all these crops. Like, do you harvest them? What do you do with the? I say, no, we don't have a combine.
Nope.
I've got thousands of my friends that come out every August to come harvest all this for me.
Wow. So when does the fall migration start in? When does it really hit the high points?
Yeah. So we're already looking forward to fall now, right? And
Sadly,
it's about early August, you know, that we're really starting to see the ducks start coming in first, mm-hmm. Followed by the geese. And we do hold some sandhill cranes at the refuge throughout the summer months. So typically, you know, 50, 75 individuals, as some of them do nest on the refuge and nearby, Minto Flats, etc. We're going to see, you know, peak migrations that mid, late August time. When we have that, when Friends of Creamers puts on that Sandhill Crane Festival.
Yeah, I live about a mile and a half from the refuge in town. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're out there at 8 o'clock at night on your deck and you're hearing them, you're flying them over, they're here they come, you know, and it's great. It is great. Only in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Yeah, it's a song. It's the sights and sounds of the refuge that I miss in the winter months. Yeah. That.
Well, we got about 2 minutes left, sir. How do you want to end it?
I'd like to say again, thanks to the community. I thought it was wild that we do a thing called Goose Watch. I've never heard or seen anything like that anywhere else I've been. It's awesome to see the community's love for the refuge.
Yeah.
I really want to thank, you know, our groups like Friends of Creamers mm-hmm. for helping out on the refuge, Alaska Songbird Institute, the Ski Jour Mushers, so, you know, Ski Jour Polk Association, ADMA, et cetera, making these trails accessible. Come out and volunteer for us. You can come out. You can reach out to any of us at Fish and Game if you want to come out and help on the refuge. We're always looking for citizen science projects. There's actually a ASI fundraiser tonight at Black Spruce this evening, some bird trivia stuff. Get out there
how exciting.
Maybe learn surprise. Hey, I I'm not a birder, but yeah, you go learn.
But a good beer and bird information, yeah.
Beer makes it better.
And then go on the backside and get some from Tommy G.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Don't get the duck breast.
But yeah. Yeah, feel free to reach out to friends. We're always looking for volunteer help on the refuge.
How does a person volunteer out there?
That's what I mean. The easiest, best way would be to stop by the old farmhouse. That's where most of our offices are located. Swing in. We're happy to talk with you. We always have things to do around the refuge.
You know, again, it's a...
Ooh, and come out for a spring migration event on April 25th.
Okay. Again, it is a crown jewel. It really is. And there's so many parts of it that are enjoyable. I mean... year round.
We have a little bit for everybody. You don't have to be a birder. You can come out and just
enjoy the nature.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I love to see the kids that are coming out. They get excited about little things like squirrels, big things like moose, but just a sunny day. And like you said, fields of yellow flowers. There's something for everybody at Creamers Field.
Well, Nate, thank you very much for taking the time and coming out here. And Mark, thank you for calling in and, you know, giving us critique on Canada and its beer. that was Nate. But you have a good day, Fairbanks. I will see you on Friday. And Nate, thank you for being here. And you have a great day too, sir.
Appreciate you having me on. Yep. Thank you.